FEA Today. My name is Gary Friel of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Thank you for tuning in, and our prayer is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to God's Word as we seek to make sense of the world in which we find ourselves today. In this episode, we want to focus on a biblical teaching known as creationism. We often hear things like man-caused climate change, radical environmentalism, population control, radical feminism, racial unrest, political and religious Marxism and Leninism. And there are many issues, but they all have one thing in common: evolution, or Darwinian evolution, which is really a doomsday scenario. That is, people are convinced that we are destined for destruction or extinction if we don't radically alter the way we live. I'm convinced, however, that we will have this earth, that this earth will exist for at least another 1,007 years. That is, there will be a time of tribulation known as the 7-year tribulation that will be followed by the 1,000-year kingdom. And these things, the Bible teaches, must come to pass. So man cannot destroy this earth. That is what the Lord will do when he brings down the curtain on this phase of his program. But even then, we know and we are absolutely persuaded that he will create a new heaven and a new earth. I want to point us to something that it is so important today, and that is a proper teaching of biblical creationism. Now, we're not going to focus on the debate between creation and evolution. We'll leave that for another episode. Today, I want to focus on an element of creation, specifically the Creator. And I want us to consider three very important texts. And the first one is found in the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible, and it is Genesis 1, starting in verse 1. And we read this: "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." You know, the Bible proclaims God's existence. Prior to the existence of the creation of this universe, it states that he is the one who brought this universe to be. He is the one that brought this universe into existence. In other words, what I'm saying is God is eternal and the universe is not. In fact, we believe this universe is quite young, only a few thousand years old, while the God who created it, as the Bible declares, is from everlasting. And we find that Moses' testimony in Psalm 90 and Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Both of these texts proclaim that God was from everlasting. Scripture never offers proofs for God's existence. Rather, it simply declares that he is. In fact, the late Henry Morris, who's one of my spiritual heroes, wrote that the very first chapter of Genesis 1, the very first chapter, the very first verse, is the most important verse in all of Scripture. Because in brief fashion, the rest of chapter 1 of Genesis and chapter 2 reveal how creation came into existence and why. And it also details the plans about which God had, especially for mankind. All and everything else that follows, it reveals information in Scripture, reveals information about our Creator and His creation. And we all know that the creation went horribly wrong. Something terrible happened. And that information is revealed in the third chapter of Genesis. But we're not going to look at that. We're going to focus on Genesis chapter 1 and the creation and the creator of the creation that God made in Genesis 1. And he declares at the end of that chapter, after 6 days of creation, he reveals that he looked at all of creation and it was very good. That is a stunning, stunning statement. The second chapter, or the second scripture we want to look at, is found in the Gospel of John. And it's found, in the first chapter, in the first verse. And we read this, that John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now that sounds very similar to what we read from Genesis chapter 1. But John continues, "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Now we know that part of the reason John wrote his gospel is to declare the deity of Jesus Christ. And in this verse, in the very first verse, he refers to this deity. He refers to the deity as the Word. He also writes this, though, that the Word is the creator of everything. Notice in verse 3, he says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." In fact, the Word is the creator of absolutely everything. And he writes the eternal Word later. He'll write this, "The eternal Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And specifically, of course, we know, as we look back on this, that he is referring to Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ himself. And the one with whom he shares, or the one with whom those 12 men shared meals, lived with, heard preach and teach, the work and work astounding miracles. He is the creator. He is the creator that Moses describes, or that Moses wrote about in Genesis chapter 1. In fact, John says that nothing exists apart from the fact that he, the Word, Jesus Christ, created it. And as I said, this sounds so much like Genesis 1, except now the focus is on the Word, Jesus Christ. He is the one doing the work of creation. The final text I want us to consider is also found in the first chapter of a book, Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. So all three of these texts, Genesis 1, John 1, and Colossians 1, should be easy for us to remember. Paul writes in Colossians 1, verse 16, "For by Him," that is Jesus Christ, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." And again, this is something that was pointed out to me by the late Henry Morris in several works that he wrote. And this in Paul's writing here, he is focusing on the work of Christ. And he describes it in chapter 1, verse 16, in the past tense. Notice what it says, "For by Him were all things created." That is, in the past, Jesus Christ was the creator. And the implication from this verse and from a lot of other passages in the book of Hebrews, and you can go back into the Old Testament and look in the Psalms, the work of creation was done in the past. And so what this means is that while Jesus Christ is the Redeemer, that is an important element. Before He was the Redeemer, He was the Creator. And because He created His work of creation, His desire to redeem His creatures is greater than any of us can possibly understand. And because he entered the realm of creation, he is able to redeem fallen mankind. But not only did he have a work in the past, he also has a work in the present. Notice what he says in verse 17. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is at work preserving his creation. He sustains this universe and everything in it. And you know, if he didn't do that, everything would cease to exist. Remember in the Gospel of John chapter 15, Jesus says, "Without me, ye can do nothing." In other words, and I remember hearing a theologian talk about this, what does Jesus Christ have to do to bring everything into extinction? And simply, he just has to stop doing what he is doing now, namely upholding all things by the word of his power. By him, all things consist. He sustains this universe. He must, therefore, uphold all things in the present. So that's what he's doing in the present. But what about the future? Well, notice what he says in verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. That is, he will bring it all to a conclusion. So Jesus Christ is at work, was at work in the past. He is at work in the present, and he will continue that. He will bring all things to its consummation, to its conclusion. By the way, Paul ties this into his work of redemption. You see, my point is simply this. The entire universe is the product, the result of the creative work of God during those first six 24-hour days of the creation week. There is not any detail that simply happened by chance or some sort of evolutionary process over millions or billions of years. The Most High God spoke this entire universe into existence and proclaimed his work at the end of chapter 1. He made this proclamation. He saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In other words, that six-day-old work of creation of the universe was everything that God intended it to be at that point in time. Though now something has gone horribly wrong. We know that. This is no longer a very good universe. All the details of that plan had worked out according to his will, but something has happened. Nevertheless, we don't need to fret, and we don't need to grow anxious in these times. The Lord our God created everything, and the Lord our God continues everything. I love what he says to Nehemiah, about what Nehemiah says in chapter 9, verse 6. You can read that on your own. And he will bring it all to conclusion. Think about this. At the end of the millennial kingdom, Jesus Christ will hand the kingdom over to his Father so that God will be all in all. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. If he called everything that exists into being out of nothing, surely he is capable of watching over it in sufficient control of it so that his intended result will come to fruition and he will receive the greatest glory possible from his people. Thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you as you seek to live for him in these times.